Gospel of John, chapter 4. We've been looking at the miracles of Jesus Christ throughout the Gospels, and we just started this a little while ago. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I know it'll be a blessing to you this morning. But this morning we want to look at the second miracle that the Bible says that Jesus, well, the second miracle that is recorded. This is the second, verse 54. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. The second miracle that he did in Galilee. It's the second one that John would record for us in the Gospel of John. But we want to begin reading at verse number 43 this morning. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my son die, or my child die, excuse me. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And so the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be attentive to your word this morning, that we would receive it, understand it, grasp it, believe it, and live it. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we go through life, there are many times throughout the course of a day that we receive different messages from all different places. And I won't even take time to go into the variety of messages that come to us from so many different places. And so many of those messages we just discard because they're not that important. I went down to get the mail the other day, and in the mail it was, well, to me it was all junk mail. And I just immediately threw it away, and then as Alice and I were taking a walk, I says, oh, I'm so sorry. I threw away what I consider something that wasn't important, but to her it had some value of importance. It was one of those pieces of paper, men, that spurs your wife to go to Kohl's. You know the one I'm talking about. It's glossy and it's vinyl and it's got that thing that says 30% off. And for some reason it just happened to go into the garbage. But if I might this morning just exhort you to listen to the message from the Word of God this morning. If there's one message in all of the Word of God that every one of us needs to hear, it's this one. It's a simple message. But it's a message that every individual in this room this morning needs to hear. It's a message that'll change your life. It is the message that will change your life. This morning, if you listen to the message and you say, Pastor, I know that, I understand that, I'm trying to live that, then all I want to be is just a bystander on the side of the road as you're running a race and cheer you on and say to keep going. But maybe this morning you're in a pit. Your life is miserable. I want to throw you a lifeline from the Word of God this morning that has the power to bring you up out of that pit. Maybe this morning you're at a crossroads in your life. And I want to put up 1,000 arrows that point you in the right direction this morning. Maybe you're struggling like you're trying to walk up a hill. And I want to get behind you and I want to push you as hard as I can with the Word of God up that hill. But most importantly, as a pastor, I simply want to lead you in the way we ought to go. The title of the message is two words. Simple faith. Simple faith. I want to read the key verse that we're going to come to in the middle of the message this morning. And then I want to take time and go back and then we'll explore it and unwrap it, if you will. But the key verse is in verse number 50. I've read this verse over 1,000 times this week and said to myself, you know, this is the key. This is the key to life. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the key of this message, the whole message is this right here. If you fall asleep after this, no problem. Just make sure you get these next few words. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. To every young person here this morning, to every teenager here this morning, this is the key to life. Grab it now while you're young. This is the difference between failure and success. This is the difference between a life of peace and joy and happiness or despair and turmoil and constant fear. This is the difference between life and death. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ and you're standing on the brink of a cliff about to step off into eternity, I want to say to you, stop. Just stop and listen. Just stop and take the next half hour and listen. Because those words right there in verse number 50 is what every one of us needs to walk out of here this morning with our heart filled with. And the man believed the words that Jesus had spoken unto him. You say, Pastor, that's so simple. Exactly. Because it is simple. It is simple. All of John chapter 4 is setting up a context in an introductory setting for what we see in these last few verses. Jesus has been up to Jerusalem. In fact, Jesus, while he's in Jerusalem at the Passover and at the feast, the Bible says in John chapter 2 that while he was there, he did many miracles. In John chapter 2 and verse number 23, and now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. Jesus had been in Jerusalem, and the Bible says he did a lot of miracles. And the Bible says people believed on him because they saw the miracles. And today there's so many people that want to see some visible show, and they want to see something, and they say, if I see something, then I'll believe. Show me something. Jesus Christ leaves Jerusalem. The Bible says many people believed on him because they saw the miracles. But then we come to John chapter 4, and John chapter 4 is a totally different context, totally different message. Not a different message, but message is brought about in a very significant way. For in John chapter 4, as Jesus Christ is going back to Galilee, as he's walking back to Galilee, he goes through Samaria. And you may be familiar with this story, but he comes to a well, and there's a woman. She's come to draw water by the well. And without going into all the details of the story, Jesus didn't do a miracle. He didn't do a miracle in her presence. But he did do something that caused her to believe that he was the Christ, the Messiah. And she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't put his hand on that well and touch that well. He did something very unique. He simply spoke to the woman. And with the power of the word of Jesus Christ, it changed that woman's life. He told her all things ever she had done. She went back into the city. And she says, come see a man that told me all things that I have done in my life. She says, this must be the Christ. She says, this must be the Son of God. This must be the Savior. And the story goes on in John chapter 4 to tell us that many believed on Jesus Christ because of the testimony of the women, because of the testimony of this lady. This lady that simply said, he told me all things that I did. And she believed on Christ. And many men in the city believed on Christ. No miracle, no spectacle, no demonstration of power. Simply the power of the word of Jesus Christ. Oh, if there were time, I'd take you back to Genesis chapter 1. And we could go through Genesis chapter 1. And we could look at all the aspects of creation. And if we're careful, we'd be brought back to this. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be light. Jesus Christ, later on, he would say this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Jesus Christ speaks to this woman, tells her about her life. She comes to the realization this must be the Christ, the Son of God, and believes on him and is saved. Many others did. And then the Bible says down in John chapter 4, verse number 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. For the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. Because of his word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, For we have heard him ourselves. We have heard him ourselves. And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is about one message. One message. Simple message. Simple faith. And it's simply this. Believe the word of the Lord. Believe the word of the Lord. That's what will change your life. Believe the word of the Lord. The woman believed the word of the Lord. The Samaritans believed the word of the Lord. This man here in John chapter 4, the nobleman, he would believe the word of the Lord. But Jesus now comes back to Galilee. And as he comes to Galilee, it's interesting that John makes an observation. And God gives us an observation here in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse number 43. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. He just spent 2 days talking to the people, teaching the people, speaking to the people, and they listened to his word, and they believed the word of the Lord, and they grew in their faith, and no visible miracle had been done. Not one. Just the word of the Lord. My whole point this morning is this. Folks, you have in your hand. I hope you have in your hand. The word of God. My message to you this morning is that is all you need. Right here. What you need to do is you need to take this. You need to take this, you need to open it up, and you need to make sure it's in the very center of your life. Good job, you picked the center seat. Because that's what makes the difference. That's what'll keep you in this life. That's what'll guide you in this life. That's what will sustain you in this life. That's what will help you in this life. Nothing else but this. Nothing else but this. But you see, when he came into Galilee, the Bible tells us something. When he comes into Galilee, verse number 45, when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him. But it says, why? Having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went out to the feast, unto the feast. The Galileans received him. They said, we've been to Jerusalem. We were there in Jerusalem. We saw the miracles. They received him. You know why they received him? Because they wanted to see more. After Jesus Christ had fed the 5,000 and done that miracle later on, the people come to him again. And he said to them, the only reason why you've come is for the show. The only reason why you've come is because of the bread, the loaves and the fish. John chapter 4, and this miracle that Jesus Christ does is a message. And the message is this, believe the word of the Lord. And so we come to John chapter 4, and we come to this circumstance and this moment in this man's life. And the first thing I would have you notice is, as we begin to look at verse number 46 down through verse number 49. Well, I tell you what, it's a desperate moment in this man's life. How else would you describe it? It's a sad case, but yet it's a true case that most of the time it takes a desperate moment in a person's life for them to even consider God, to even look to the possibility of a God, to cry unto God, or to seek for help from God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2 that the goodness of God should lead a person to repentance. But such is the case and such is reality that most times it takes a tragedy, takes something desperate in our lives to cause us to turn to think of God and to think of Christ. And here this man faces a desperate moment in his life. His son is at the point of death. His child, his young boy, is at the point of death. He has a fever and he's at the point of death. What a desperate moment in a man's life. And you see, when you read about this man's life, all of a sudden you understand it's a desperate moment and nothing else matters. The man realizes that nothing in and of himself, and nothing that he has, and nothing of anything who he is can do anything. The Bible says a certain nobleman. And with that, the Bible's telling us, listen, this was real life. This wasn't a story that someone had made up to grab someone's attention. This is a real story. This is a real life. This is a real man. This is a real son. This is a real circumstance. And my son is about to die. Doesn't get much worse than that, does it? Doesn't get much more desperate than that. The Bible tells us this man's a nobleman. He's in an official position under the king. Hey, what good is that at this point in his life? Of what value is any title that he has? You can amass all the titles and all the positions and all the accolades to your name, but when you come to a moment like this, when your son is at the point of death, what does it matter if you're a pastor or a professor or a doctor or a teacher or an engineer or anybody else? What do all the college degrees and all the plaques and all the things on the wall mean when you're in such a desperate condition? And you're standing at the bedside looking down upon your son. What does it matter when all the wealth and all the money that's in your bank account cannot purchase a miracle for your son? What does it matter when you've called all the doctors and you've summoned with the authority that you have all the physicians of all the land, and they've come and they've looked and they've poked and they've prodded and they've thought and they've sat down and they counseled together and they turn to you and they say, what do you do when your wife pleads and begs and says, honey, you're my husband. You're the father. You're the one that we look to. You're the one that we trust and do something. And you throw up your hands and you say, there's nothing I can do. What does it matter where you live? What does it matter whether you're from Jerusalem or Rome or Capernaum or Galilee? What does it matter what type of house you live? What does it matter whether you live on a dirt road or a paved street? What does any of that matter when you face this, such a desperate moment as this? May I suggest to you this?
That's the attitude we ought to have about life. That's the attitude every one of us ought to have about our life. That I am living in a desperate moment right now. For the unsaved person, it's this. It's a desperate moment because the Bible says if you're without God in this world, you're without hope. But Christian, we need to live with this mentality too. For Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, without me, ye can do nothing. So if you're here today without Christ and you're unsaved, and you're standing on the brink of eternity, it's a desperate moment. You're without God. You're without hope. You need to hear the message this morning. But for every Christian, listen, we need to live with a desperate mentality. That I can't survive without Christ. That I can't live without Christ. That I can't go through this day without Christ. Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. And the good part about this desperate moment is that this man had heard. He had heard something. He had heard about someone. This nobleman that lived in Capernaum, he had heard. He had heard that there was this man, Jesus. And he'd heard that this man, Jesus, had the power to heal. And so this man, in a desperate moment, he says, I've got to get to this man, Jesus. And you see, he was so desperate. Listen, he was so desperate that he says, I'm not sending my servants. He says, I'm not delegating this one to anybody else. This is so desperate, I'm not going to depend upon my servants to get there, or my servants to plead with him, or my servants to bring him back. No, I must go myself. I'm not going to send my wife. Someone might have thought, well, a wife pleading and clinging and just on the ground before me, maybe that'll... No, he says, I need to go myself. And he comes to Cana of Galilee because he heard that there was a man named Jesus that had the power to heal. And he comes and he begs Jesus Christ. He begs in a moment of desperation, simple faith. He begs Jesus Christ. He says, please, please, sir. Come down and heal my son. He's at the point of death. Simple faith. The Bible doesn't tell us how much he knew of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't tell us how much he knew of the Scriptures. The Bible tells us he heard. He heard that Jesus was in Galilee. And he heard stories about what Jesus had done and what Jesus could do. His faith was simple, and his faith wasn't, well, it was ignorant to a point. Jesus Christ, in a moment, encourage his faith, challenge his faith, and guide his faith. If you see this man as he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came to Jesus, he said, come down, ere my son die. Come down and heal my son, for he's at the point of death. And this man, in his simple faith, he had heard that this man, Jesus, had the power to heal. But in the simplicity of his faith, he thought that Jesus Christ needed to physically be in the presence of his son to do a miracle. So he says, come, please, come. Leave Cana, Galilee. Come to Capernaum. I know it's a long journey. I know it's a day's journey, but this is my son. He's about to die. Please, sir, come. Come down. Put your hand upon my son. Stand in his presence. Look upon him and lift him up by the hand. Raise him up. Heal my son. Jesus says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And I tell you what, I'm so thankful that in the simplicity of his faith, he wasn't turned away by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And it's as if the man is saying in verse number 49, the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down here, my child die. To me, it's as if the man is saying, listen, my faith might not be the best. It might not be the strongest. It might not have the fullest of understanding. But all I know is my son is at the point of death. And all I know is that I've heard that you have the power to heal. And I need you. You know, he didn't plead with the Lord Jesus Christ based upon his position or anything about his life. He didn't plead with the Lord Jesus Christ on any basis of anything in and of his son. He didn't go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, listen, I'm a nobleman. Out of respect for my position, come down. He didn't go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, listen, my son, he's a good boy. He loves his mother. He respects me. He does well at school. He has a tender heart. He didn't plead with anything on the basis of any merit or any value or anything of this earth. He pleaded simply by faith on the mercy of Jesus. Maybe that's your faith this morning. This is not about how strong your faith is. It's about how strong the person in whom your faith is. I don't even know that didn't make sense. It's about the person that you're trusting in. It was a desperate moment. Do you understand this morning? We live in a desperate moment. We need Christ. Oh, we preach so much about how the world needs God and the world needs Christ. But do we understand this morning how desperate we are, folks? How desperate our lives are and how much we need Christ. If there's a day goes by that I think for one moment I can live without Christ, well, I tell you what, I need someone to throw up 1,000 roadblocks in my way and say, stop. This is the way, walk in it. But then we see a decisive moment. A decisive moment. This is a moment that every one of us comes to time and time and time again in our life. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to live your life? How are you going to live your life today? How are you going to live your life tomorrow? How are you going to live your life in your home, in your workplace, in school, or anywhere else? And in verse number 50, we have a very decisive moment in this man's life. It's interesting. And I was talking with my wife and Crystal and others about this week. It's interesting as you go through this story that when this man comes to Jesus in the beginning of the story, the Bible refers to him as the nobleman. But now when you come to the second point, when you come to this decisive moment, that title is not even mentioned because it really doesn't matter. He is simply the man. Because when it comes to the decisive moment in your life, it's about you. Unwrapped before God. Just you. No titles, no facade. Nothing to hide behind. Just you standing before the Lord. And the decisive moment was this. That all of a sudden Jesus Christ says something. And I want to take time for a moment to look at verse number 50. Because here's the key. Here's the foundational key. This is what we need to get. This is what you need to get. This is really what you need to get. Are you paying attention? This is what you need to get. Jesus saith unto him. Well, Pastor, you haven't stated what he said. No, I'm not. Whoa, stop. Listen. Jesus saith unto him. I'm going to say it one more time. Jesus saith unto him. Do you catch that? I don't know what the population of the world was at this point in time. I don't know how many people there were that were present when this man came to Jesus. I don't know how many curious onlookers there were, but at this moment in time, there were only two people in the world that this story is about. Jesus and one man. Jesus and one man. And the message that is spoken was not a message to all the Samaritans, was not a message to all the Galileans, was not a message to all the rest of the world. Jesus saith unto him. And until you or I get it in our heart and mind that when I open up this book, that it is a God of eternity that is speaking only to me. To me. See, many times we open up this book and we read it. But somehow we fail to grasp. We fail to grasp, number one, that this is really the Word of God. There's no other voice that speaks at this moment. There's no other earthly individual that utters a word in this moment. There's only one person that speaks, and that's Jesus. When I open up this book, when I read this book, before I ever think
or begin to think about studying or preparing a message for you, I first take a lot of time. And I open this book and I say, this is what God is saying to me. See, all week, I've been reading verse number 40. And I've been asking myself this question. Your pastor's been challenging himself all week. Your pastor's been asking himself as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a pastor, as a man. I've been asking myself this week, do I fully believe the words in this book? Because only when you believe this is the word of God to you will begin to open up and change your life. It's personal. But then he says this, here's the message. It's interesting. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Go thy way. Two statements. Jesus could have just said, thy son liveth. But he said one more thing. He says, go thy way. Boy, I tell you what, that's an important part of the message. Go thy way. Thy son liveth. Go thy way. Your son is alive. There's no longer a fear of death. That's been dealt with by the Lord. Your son is alive. Your son lives. Go thy way. And here's why I say this was a decisive moment. Because this man up until this point thought, while he had a simple faith in Jesus, he thought that Jesus needed to come down to Capernaum. He thought that Jesus needed to be in the presence. He thought that Jesus needed to physically touch his son or do something like that. And now Jesus had said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And now this man had to make a decision. A decision of faith. What am I going to do? And he made the right decision. The Bible says he believed. The Bible says he believed. You know, I'm so thankful there's nothing more that's added to verse number 50 than the man believed the word that Jesus spoke. Boy, I am so glad that the Bible doesn't say that the man stopped and says, wait a minute, and turned to the people around him and said, what do you think I ought to do? Oh, well, wait a minute. Do you think that what he said is real? Let me go get 100 commentaries and see what it says. The man believed the word that the Lord spoke to him. He believed it. Hold on, let me Google it. He believed the word. You know, that's the message. That's the message that when you open this up, and I don't know what your need is this morning. Listen, I am not the Spirit of God, and I'm not here to point you to what the Lord needs you to hear this morning, but I tell you this, it's all in here. It's in here. And I'll tell you, first of all, if you're not opening this up and reading it, you don't have a leg to stand on because you're not hearing what the Lord is saying to you. And if you're filling your ears with everything that the world is saying, not only don't you not have a leg to stand on, but you've got a whole world that's pushing you over the cliff.
If you're not spending a lot of time in the Word of God, you're not listening and you're not seeking to hear what the Lord says to you. But when you open it up, when you open it up, do yourself a favor. Don't question it. Don't argue with it. Don't ask someone else whether they believe it or not. Understand this is the Word of God. And believe it. And believe it. For some reason, the Lord has me to Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Oh, big recession coming. Prices are going through the roof. How are we going to pay for oil? How are we going to survive? I'll tell you how I'm going to survive, the same way I've survived for the last 66 years of my life. Had to figure that one out. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I do not care one snap what this government or this world says about a recession. I don't care what direction the prices are going in, because my Bible says this. My God says this. My Lord says this. Trust in the Lord and do good. You will dwell in the land and you will be fed. That's the word of the Lord. Now it's decision time. Well, I've made my choice. It's a simple one. Believe it. And you see what happens? Something happens when you believe it. Changes your life. It changes your right now. It changes your attitude. It changes everything about your life. Because here's what the Lord said. The Lord didn't just say, thy son liveth. He said something before that. He said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the Bible says the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. And you know what that means? Jesus said to him, listen, your son's alive. Go live yourself. And you know what's interesting? The Bible says the man believed the word and he went on his way. And you know what's interesting is when you read the next few verses in John chapter 4, he went his way. And you know what's interesting? Is that in verse number 51 and verse number 52? It tells about his way. And it tells about, if you will, the character of his way. You know what it was? It wasn't one of anxiety. It wasn't one of trouble. It wasn't one of unrest. It was one of peace and rest. And rest and peace. Not rest in peace. Rest and peace. Because you know what? He believed the word of the Lord. He believed what Jesus said to him. And he just went his way. He just went his way. And the Bible says in verse number 51, as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Wow, it's interesting. They said the same words that Jesus said.
exact words, "Thy son liveth." And so he asked him a question. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to omit. And they said, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. What's interesting is that in the context of the story, he goes his way and his servants meet him somewhere along the journey. It was about a day's journey from Cana of Galilee to Capernaum. And he says, when did he begin to get better? And they said, yesterday. And he understood it was the same hour. Yesterday. You know what that tells us? That tells us the guy didn't rush. That tells us the guy didn't rush. You know what that tells me? That tells me the guy didn't run 1,000 miles an hour home to see if it was true. He knew it was true. He believed it was true. And because he knew and believed it was true, you know what? He just walked back home. You see, when you believe the word of the Lord, it takes all the anxiety, the frustration, the turmoil, and everything else out of life. You know, the point is this, that many times we need to just go back time and time again to sit down and open up this book. When you're facing something, listen, here's what you do. You simply go back and you say, this is what my God says. And I'm going to believe it. And may I encourage you to do something? Just sit there and read it until you do believe it. Meditate on it until you do believe it. And then when you know that your heart and soul is filled with faith, you get up and you can just go through life and say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. Why is it okay? Because I believe this. I believe this. And so the man goes home. He goes home and we come to one more moment of faith, a declarative moment of faith. Verse 52, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew it was at the same hour. He knew it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth. And then it says this. Here's a whole point of the Gospel of John. And himself believed in his whole house. And this man believed. He believed and he knew, just like the Samaritan woman, just like the other folks in Samaria. He believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he told his family, and his family believed that as well. And yet the only thing that happened in John chapter 4, is that Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke. Simple faith. This man came seeking. He heard the word of the Lord. He believed the word of the Lord. And then he understood who Jesus Christ was, and he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was saved. You know, he told his family. He told his family all about it, and his family believed, and they were saved. Just like the Philippian jailer told his family, and they were saved. Just like the Samaritan woman told the men of the city, and they believed. I want to take just a moment in time and go a step further and tell you what Jesus Christ has said. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that you're without Christ at this point in time. It's a desperate moment in your life. Desperate moment in your life right now. You say, Pastor, why is it so desperate? Because Jesus Christ said to one man, the Gospel of Luke, he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then what shall these things be? The word of the Lord is this, that if you're here without Jesus Christ, right now is a desperate moment. Because you have right now to make a decision about Jesus Christ. And you cannot guarantee, and I cannot guarantee, and there's no one that can guarantee whether you'll have another moment. You just look at how many tragedies took place over this past weekend. Look at how many lives were taken one way or another these past few days. You stop and consider how many people. It was a young girl in New York City, 14 years old, I think it was. Thanksgiving Day, her mom sent her out to buy a loaf of bread for Thanksgiving dinner. She never came home. It was a grandfather and a grandmother that got in a plane from the Midwest. We're going to take a simple flight like they had done many times to North Carolina to be with their family for Thanksgiving. And they never arrived. Jesus says, this night thy soul shall be required. What if tonight is the night that you stand before God? Well, Jesus also said in the Gospel of John, he said this. If you don't believe the gospel, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean when a person dies in their sins? Well, I'd encourage you to go home and read Luke chapter 16. The Bible says the rich man died. And he was buried. And the Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. The Bible teaches over and over again that Lord Jesus Christ teaches over and over again that when a person dies in their sins, they stand before God, that are going to be cast into a lake of fire, tormented for all eternity. But as Jesus Christ would walk across this earth, and as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are recorded throughout the pages of the gospel, Jesus Christ said, I come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. And Jesus Christ would say to you this morning, listen, hear me when I say this. I died for you. He said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in Mark chapter 1, Jesus Christ says this simple statement. Just like a simple statement he said to that man.
And that man believed the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ makes a simple statement. Two things he says. He says, repent and believe the gospel. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The other day, I was at Walmart with my wife. I actually did something I don't think I've ever done before. Went Black Friday walking. We're at Walmart. And so the rest of the people we were, they were all shopping and everything. And I'm just wandering around. And I came to the book section at Walmart. And as I was in the book section looking around, as is my tendency all the time, I'm just looking at the Bible section. It always amazes me that there's still a section of Bibles in Walmart, that they're still selling Bibles. I just stand there and I stare in disbelief that there's still hope. And so I was looking at the Bibles and I picked up a Bible and I went back to studying and I turned to John chapter 4 and I'm standing there reading John chapter 4 with this Bible from Walmart. And so I set it back on the shelf. And as I set it back on the shelf and as I started to turn, there was a young man he was standing in the aisle and when I had walked up to the Bible section, excuse me, he was looking at the books on the other side of the aisle. I don't know what books they were, but he was looking at those books. And after I had picked up the Bible and had spent a few moments just reading John chapter 4 again, I set it back down and as I started to turn, I noticed out of the corner of my eye that this man, he must have been watching me, but he turned and he reached over and picked up that Bible. So I quickly turned to him and I said, young man, that's the best book you could ever buy in your life. I said, here, let me show you why. And so I just took that Bible out of his hand and I opened it up and showed him a number of things about the Word of God, primarily about the Word of God. And I said, do you have a Bible? And he says, no, I don't have a Bible. And I says, oh, man, you need a Bible. And then, you know, sometimes you just don't get it. And I didn't get it at the moment. Kid said he needed a Bible. Young man said he needed a Bible. Well, Pastor, there's a Bible. Guy needs Bible. There is Bible. Do something. I am not the smartest kid on the block. Sometimes it takes the Lord taking a brick and boom. So I said, you need a Bible. I said, listen, I'm a pastor. I said, I invite you out to church. And then I said this. I said, listen, you come to church Sunday and I will give you a Bible. He said, thank you. He says, boy, he says, you really cleared some things up for me. And I turned to walk away. Gave my name and phone number. He put it in his phone and gave my number. And I turned and walked away. So I'm walking through Walmart and all of a sudden, boom. What are you thinking? Seriously. I said, what are you thinking? This young man doesn't have a Bible. He needs a Bible. So I walked back and I picked up that Bible and I went to the cashier and I paid for that Bible and actually paid for a Walmart bag. Because we're back to paper bags now, I see. Just can't figure things out. And I took the receipt and I put it in John chapter 1. And I put that Bible in that bag and I said, Lord, please, forgive me. I should have done this sooner, but Lord, help me right now. Where is this guy? Where is he? So I just started walking down the main big aisle of Walmart in front of the cash registers. I says, I know this. If he's in the store, he's got to come out.
Simple, right? And all of a sudden I turned and there he is. There he is. He had a purple jacket on so I could pick him right out. And now he's with a crowd of people, about four or five other people. And I'm about from here to the middle of church and I yell his name as only your pastor would do. And I yelled his name. And the whole group turns around and he looks at me. I didn't run, but I walked and I said, listen. I says, here, you need this. I said, I want you to have this. I bought it for you. I said, listen, I put a bookmark in the place where you need to start reading. I said, Merry Christmas, and I turned and walked away. He yelled after me, he says, thank you so much. Folks, listen. I saw just a glimpse in that young man as he turned and picked up that Bible off his shelf. And I said, you know what? He needs the Word of God. Doesn't need me. He needs the Word of God. And I might never see that man again in my life. And I'm not asking the Lord that if he gets saved, oh, that I'll see him in glory, because I really don't need to know. But I know this, if that young man takes that Bible home, with a sincere heart, he opens up to John chapter 1, and he reads through, that the Spirit of God will bring him to a point of understanding. And he can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Folks, that's what it's all about. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, it's a desperate moment in your life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But Christian, did you get the message today? Believe the Word of God, and walk by faith. Believe what the Lord says to you, and live by faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray. Oh, Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, that's on their way to hell, that they would understand that Jesus Christ died for them, was buried and rose again, so that they need not perish, for God would have all men to be saved. And that Jesus loved them and died for them, and that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And Lord, I pray for that Christian today, that at whatever point in their life there is, that needed to hear that message this morning, that they would believe the word of the Lord, that they would believe your word and live in accordance with it. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.